John chapter 10. So we looked at the first few verses of this chapter this morning, at the sheepfold and the shepherd calling the sheep out of that fold, how that those sheep that belong to the shepherd, they hear his voice, they follow his voice, they come out and he goes before them and leads them. And we see that the Lord was speaking here after the healing of this blind man, and the Lord said, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But you see, therefore your sin remains. So the Lord had just said that in this parable applying to that. You see how that the shepherd comes to the fold. He calls to the sheep, and only his sheep respond to his call. Well, so it is in the kingdom of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. His call goes out to his sheep. His sheep respond to that call. We come down to verse 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now that's a pile of scripture. The best we'll ever do with that is skim over the surface of it, which is about the extent of our ability. But as the Lord speaks this parable, the first parable there, they don't understand what he's saying. But we see in those first verses that he's the shepherd. He's the one that the porter moves out of the way for. And he's the one that the sheep come out of the fold and follow. And so if we look at that in the picture of salvation, the devil, he's not going to move or let anybody out from the bondage of sin, out from the darkness of deception. He's not going to allow man the liberty or the freedom to come out from that. But the Lord, the good shepherd, he's the only one with the ability for the sheep to come out. He moves the devil out of the way. He causes the darkness to flee. He illuminates their hearts and he draws them out by his word unto their self. But he's going to go even farther here. He's not only the good shepherd, but I am the door. And you know, if there's no Lord Jesus Christ, there's not even a means for me to escape the darkness and the sin and the devil. Before the Lord came, and let's just say you erase the Lord Jesus out of history. He's never came, he's never rode up. Where does that leave the lump of mankind? We're all shut in the sheepfold. We're under the power of Satan. We're servants to sin. We're abiding under the wrath of God. And there's absolutely no hope of improvement. There's no hope of doing better. There's no hope of liberty. And there's no hope of forgiveness. Man is there to serve sin. What few days of his miserable life that he has, step out of this world and meet God in wrath, in anger and in judgment. But you know, the Lord Jesus, he came and he is the door.
If man is going to escape that bondage to sin, if we're going to escape the lies and deceit of the devil, if we're going to enter in unto life, I believe you can see that. If we were in a place and there was only one door, if you're coming in, if you're going out, that's the only way that there is to come in and out. We go through the door. Well, that's the way it is with salvation. And you know, no doubt the Pharisees, as the Lord said, all that came before me, they were thieves and robbers. They were in it for themselves. They were in it for their gain with no care to them that were round about them. No doubt they said, well, how can this man claim to be the only one? How can that be? That's a little exclusive. And that's what our world says today. How can you say that Jesus is the only way? That's a little exclusive to a certain group of people. The world would like to say that every way and every thought of a man is right, and we can make it any way that we choose or any way that we desire. But here's the truth. There was no way out. It is exclusive. He is the only way because there was never a way without Him. If you leave the Lord out, there is no salvation. If you leave the Lord out, there is no escape. If you remove Jesus from the way, we're shut in with no door or means for us to come out of the sin that held us bondage. So He is the door of the sheep. He says in Galatians chapter number 3, give me just a second to turn there. Galatians chapter 3 verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. You look at the Lord praying as well, and let's put these two Scriptures together. The Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, as the hour of His suffering and passion was approaching, there He bowed and He said, Lord, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. So with this Scripture, could righteousness have been by the law? If we could have kept it, if there could have been a law given that we could have kept, absolutely righteousness could have been by the law. But you know what the Scripture's done? We're unable to keep that. We're unable to do right. We're unable to do as God commands. And the law concludes us. It means to shut up in prison together. It shut us up in prison under sin. We've been found guilty. We've been found breakers of the law. And therefore, there is no other means of righteousness outside of the faith of Jesus Christ. There's only been one ever kept it. There's only been one that's ever lived it. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's man. He's shut up. And even the dear Son of God, the beloved Son, in whom the Father was well pleased as He prayed and said, if it be possible. I believe we could say it like this and maybe not take anything away from what the Lord's praying. But if you can save them some other way, if the sheep could be saved in some other means, if there would be another way that they could escape, don't make me to endure this. Let this cup, this bitter cup, this, it's the cup of the wrath of God's what He's going to drink in. Let this cup pass from me that I don't have to suffer and endure the wrath of God for these folks. But you know what there was? There was no other way. There was no other means. There was no other sacrifice. There was no other way that man could escape the bondage of his own sin. We were shut up together there. And we were without hope. Without hope. So is it exclusive? It is. It is exclusive. The Lord is the door. But if you want to take the door out, we've got no way to escape the bondage of sin. And with that, the wages of sin is death. And not just death of the body, but God's always looking to the eternal, isn't He? The eternal death in the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. So if somebody's going to escape, they're going to come through the door. If the sheep is coming out of the sheepfold, they're coming through the door. They're coming through the gate. They're not going to jump the fence. It's made to keep them in there. And see, that's the way sin is. The devil, his lies, his deceit, it's designed to hold man. And you know where man's at? He's in a stupor. He's in a daze. He's deceived and blinded, and he believes he's all right. But if a man is going to escape that, the door of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only means for man to escape that state that he's in. So in 1 John, he says this, chapter 5, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So that's very simple words. But boy, that's profound and beyond mankind on his own's mind. This eternal life that God is giving man, do you know how man receives that? Through the Son of God. It is in the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Son of God. And those that have this eternal life, they have the Son. There's no way you can separate that apart. Eternal life is in the Son. Without the Son, there's no eternal life. Escape from hell is in the Son. And without the Son, there's no escape from hell. So who are those with eternal life? Who are those that's going to escape wrath? It's those that have came through the door of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is no other way. There's no other hope for man outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. "I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers." So you think about this, and you can see the picture here. No doubt at Jesus' time, there had been many opinions of what man had to do in order to be righteous and acceptable with God. You can read in Mark where in this day they wash tables, they wash bowls, they wash plates, they wash their hands, they wash their feet, they wash the walls, they wash the door. They had all of these ceremonies. And you know where every bit of that came from? From the tradition and the teachings of man. Man had interjected and said, if you're going to be right with God, this is what you've got to do. And somebody else come along, that fellow would die, and somebody else would come and say, now wait a minute, that's not good enough, but if you're really going to be right, you're going to have to do that and this. But you know what they ever were? They were thieves and robbers. And know this now, I believe you can see this, if you've been called out of the fold and are in the family of God, everything that happened to you before the Lord Jesus called you was a thief and a robber. There's been many trips to altars. There's been many baptisms. There's been many church memberships. There's been lots of good works and good deeds. There's been lots of religion in people's lives. And the truth is, it was all separate from the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what that is? If we're going to be separate from the Lord, that's of no benefit to me. To be baptized and to join the church outside of coming through the door of the Lord Jesus does not make me one ounce more righteous than I was beforehand. I tell you, the way to righteousness, we ought to clear everything else out of our mind. And I've got the scripture marked there in Philippians. Paul, he's going through all that he was and all that he had done and how that he was born a Benjamite, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He said, I've got to count all of these things for loss, that I might have Christ. I tell you where man's got to come. Man's got to come to the place that everything I've ever done, everything I've ever added, everything I've ever tried to do was insufficient and not good enough. If I'm going to have Christ, I've got to let go of everything else and lay hold of Him and Him alone. So this, well, I've done this, that, and the other, that's got to be cut off and done away with. Set that to the side, because in the grand scheme of things, those things do not matter. You know what matters? Have I been through the door? Have I come through the Lord Jesus Christ? Have I ever been born again? And if I'm outside of the Lord Jesus, it doesn't matter what I've added to it. If I'm outside of Him, I do not have life. And I tell you what those things will do. Those things will steal and rob life from you. Because I'll trust in that. I'll believe in that. I'll hold to that. And I'll think that's what's going to give me life. I tell you, those things are fit and in order in their place. But the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal life is in Him and in Him alone. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. I believed a lot of things. Maybe you did too. You know what they done? They stole from you. The truth is, everything I believed and everything I thought before the Lord called me, it was there to keep me separate from the Lord. It was there to keep me in the bondage of my sin. You see the trap that the devil uses? The carnal mind and the wicked heart of man. And he holds man in a state of deceit and a state of lies. And how that he robs and steals day after day of our life from us. But the Lord Jesus came calling one day. And I realized that everything before Him only robbed from me. Now this was the shepherd. This was the shepherd, and he was calling for his sheep individually and by name. Remember that this morning? And so he shall be saved. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So the Lord Jesus is the means for a man to be saved. There are things that ought to be done after a man or a woman is saved. I believe a man or a woman that's saved ought to join the church. I believe a man or a woman that's saved is born into the church. He calls out of the world and places into his family the church of the living God. But do you see what he's saying here? That if you enter in through him, that's how we're saved. Lay everything else to the side and know this, that coming through Jesus, that's what salvation is, and that's what salvation is alone. Me joining the church does not help my salvation. Me going to a watering hole does not help my salvation. But the day the Lord called me and I come through the door, I was as saved that day as I'll ever be all the days of my life. I was as righteous that day as I'll ever be. I was placed in Him and I was saved. I was secure. I was whole. I was pure. I was everything that I needed in order to be in God's family. That came from Jesus. That came through the door. Any man enters, he shall go in and out and find pasture. Now we're still looking at the picture now of the sheep. The pasture, it's not just turned out in a field, but it's a place of grazing, a place of eating, a place where you can turn the sheep and they're going to prosper. So listen to this in Romans chapter number 5. Listen to the people that are in Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, before we dig any deeper in this scripture, I want you to notice where every bit of this is. In verse 1, we're justified, we have peace through Jesus Christ. In verse 2, by whom also. So all of this is wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you talk about a pasture where the sheep can go and they can flourish and they can prosper. Here they are, they're justified. They are declared righteous by God. And I tell you what a declaration when God anoints His sheep with His Holy Spirit of God and they are declared to be sons and daughters of God by faith, and they have peace with God. I tell you, I remember what it was like to be in sin. I remember I was afraid of God. When the Lord was convicting me, I was afraid of God. I was afraid of meeting Him. I was afraid of dying and lifting my eyes before God and Him casting me away. I realized the sin that I was in and I was afraid of His wrath and of His anger. But you know, in Jesus Christ, I'm not afraid of God. I can be like Paul and I can say, if I stay here, it's good. But to depart is far better because I'm going to be with the Lord. I've got peace with Him. I've got peace with Him in Jesus Christ. You see, this peace is not hinged on me, but it's in Jesus. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus, through the door, by whom also the same Lord Jesus, we have access by faith. So access, admission. We have admission by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So notice what's going on here. Not only do we have peace. Thank you, Ken. I appreciate that. Not only do we have peace with God. Not only are we justified, but we have access or admission into the grace of God. Day by day, as we live, as we move, as we have our being in this world, as we're faced with troubles, as we're faced with trials, as we're put through the fire, as we're brought through the water, as things are good, as things are on the mountain, and as things are in the bottom of the darkest valley that there are, you know what I've got in Jesus? I can bow to my face and say, Father, I desire some grace. Would you intervene in this situation? Would you give us strength and help us? Father, I pray that in Jesus' name, you would strengthen me and encourage me and help me to go onward. You know what my access into that is? It's Jesus. By Him we have access. I've got access to my house by my key. Our access into grace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in you. It's in Him. Access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope, the expectation, or the confidence of the glory of God. You know what the children of God have? In our day, we lose sight of this, and it's so easy because of how we live and how blessed and favorable our life is. But there were people in this day in prison waiting to be executed because of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were people that had their families taken. They were burned at the stake. They were filleted alive. They were beheaded. They were crucified. They suffered. They were boiled in oil. They were boiled in water. They had all of this suffering and all of this trouble. And you know what Paul's able to say? That no matter what you're going into, if you're going into the hot oil, you know you've got an expectation that on the other side of that, you're going to be glorified with God. We've got hope of eternal redemption. And I tell you, it's not I hope so. I hope it does tomorrow. This is an expectation that when we lay this man down, we're going to be redeemed and in heaven with the Father. Oh, whole lot more than somebody said something mean to me today. No, we're looking at people that lives were in jeopardy. And this Word of God was there that in Jesus we've obtained all of these things. It's a rich pasture to live in with the Lord Jesus Christ as our shepherd. And so, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. So I guess I've referred to this scripture multiple times in the last month and a half. So just one more time. The devil means you no good. He comes for one reason: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He is evil to the bone. But the Lord Jesus, He came that the sheep might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know what He is? He's the one that's come, and let's maybe catch the next verse with this. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. So do you know what the Lord is? He's the one that loves, that cares, and that has come for the good of the sheep. Listen to a scripture or two here. In John chapter 3, verse number 17, we all know this verse. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So Jesus didn't come to cause harm to the sheep. And if you get your head straight, thinking biblically, the Lord couldn't make it any harder on us because we were already shut up in sin. I didn't need to be condemned. I was condemned already. I didn't need to be made guilty. I was guilty already. The Lord didn't add one hurtful thing. But do you know why He came? He came to give His life for the sheep. That means in the stead of, or for the sake of. This good shepherd, he's more than this hireling that He's going to talk about. He's not somebody that's just on the payroll, that when trouble comes, He's going to run off and forsake and leave the sheep to fend for themselves. This is the good shepherd. He knows His sheep. He knows their names. He knows where they're at. He knows the shape they're in. He loves them and He cares for them. And He will not leave one of them behind. There's not going to be one of His sheep out of His flock that's ever going to be lost. He'll be with them always, even unto the end of the world. And He's going to take, I tell you, He's going to take their place in death. So David, and we mentioned this briefly this morning, but David told Saul, as Goliath was out there mocking the people of Israel, David told Saul, he said, I was out with my father's sheep, and a lion and a bear came, and he took the sheep, and by the way it reads, he took a sheep and took off with it. And David run the bear, the lion, down, and he took the sheep out of his mouth, and he slew it. Now is the hireling going to do that? You know what David's doing there? He's putting his life at risk to save a sheep. And do you know what man's going to say? That sheep ain't worth my life. Ain't that right? I'm more valuable than the sheep is. Now you put yourself at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven above, and you put yourself in the Lord Jesus' eyes, looking down on you, looking down on me, looking down on our pitiful, sinful existence, and there we are, shut up under wrath. You know what you're going to say? They're not worth it. So what love was in the heart of the Father and was in the heart of the Good Shepherd that the Good Shepherd said, I'll go and I'll give my life in the place of the sheep. These sheep are going to die. These people, let's just say it right, these people are going to die. These sinners are going to die for their sins. I'm going to go, Father. I'm going to yield myself to You. Nobody's going to take it from me. I tell you, if man was able to arrest the Lord and force Him to the cross, that'd be a totally different story. He said, no man's taking this from me. I can call 12 legions of angels. I can be delivered from this if I choose to. At any time, I could bring this to a swift end. At any time, I could come down from here and deliver myself. No, it wasn't man that barred Him and nailed Him to the cross and kept Him there. It wasn't the devil that overcame Him and put Him to death. He went there willingly. He yielded Himself and He endured it. He stayed under it. Why would He do those things? Because He's the good shepherd and He loves His sheep, and He was dying at their place. He gave Himself in the place of the sheep in 1 Peter chapter 2, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Listen to this last verse. Sounds like Peter's remembering this speech of the Lord Jesus. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. These sheep going astray, these sheep that flee the wisdom of the Master, these sheep that willfully rebel and go against the direction of God Almighty, that God says, this is the way you ought to live. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt do this. And the sheep, the people that say, I'm not going to do what God said, I'm going to live it my way, and I'm going to have my own way. And it was for those very people that the Lord Jesus said, I'll take their transgressions, I'll take their sin, I'll bear it in my body, I'll take their stripes, I'll be nailed to the cross, I'll die in their place. Our substitute in the judgment and in the wrath of God Almighty. Because see, God's just. Justice is something that's far lost in the mind of man today. But God is just, perfectly, purely just. He's just to this place, that every sin and every transgression must receive a just recompense of reward. That means there can be no sin ignored. There can be nothing swept under the rug. But every transgression, every sin must be paid for, and paid for appropriately. So if the sheep are going to be free, then the debt that they owe is going to have to be paid. And so the Lord Jesus said, I'll take the payment that they owe. But you know, it wasn't gold that I owed. It wasn't millions of dollars that I owed. It wasn't property that I owed. It was my life that I owed. It was my soul in eternal hell. That was the payment for the sins that I committed. Couldn't be paid for. I could never pay for that, because eternally I would be there and never pay that up. But you know, the Lord Jesus, in His perfect, in His sinless, in His righteous body, a body without sin, that's so far above my head, I can't fathom that. But in His body without sin, the stripes and the beating and the suffering and the hungering and the thirsting and the pain and the torment and the bleeding and the dying on the cross of Calvary, God said, I accept that as payment for their sin. And in Him, they can go free. In Him, their debt is paid. And I'll give them, I'll impute to them righteousness from His account. So you see, the good shepherd loves the sheep. The hireling's going to flee. When his neck's on the line, he's running away. You know why? They're not his sheep, and he don't care about them. That's what the Bible says. But you know, these sheep, these are the Lord's sheep. And He loves every single one of His sheep. He loves them to death, even the death of the cross. As low, as painful, as hard as could be, that's the death that He loved them to. And you know, you think it adds a whole different layer to it when you think that He could have at any point brought an end to His suffering, yet He stayed under and endured every single bit. He says there in Peter, and I didn't even think to read that, when He was reviled, He reviled not again. When they spit on Him, He didn't spit back at them, but He endured it. He took it. He bore it in His body because He loved His sheep and He wanted to set them free from that. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. As the Father knoweth me, Even so I know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Now I believe you hold this in its perspective, and you say, well, he's talking to Israel here, and what he's going to do is bring in also other people outside of Israel. He's going to bring in the Gentiles as well. And certainly that's exactly what he did. He saved some out of Israel, and he's going to save some out of the Gentiles. And that was the plan of God from the beginning. God's hand wasn't forced to do that. I want you to know this. God's hand has never been forced by man to do anything. That was God's plan from the beginning. But he says, there's other sheep not of this fold. Them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. If you'll have this today, as the Lord Jesus is here speaking to these Pharisees, maybe these people on the Sanhedrin, and he's saying, I've got other sheep that I'm going to die for as well. Not just these disciples, and not just this blind man, but there's other sheep from other places. If you'll have it, he was looking down to our day, and he saw you, and he saw I, and he saw the other sheep that were not there at that time, and he said, I'm going to bring them as well. And 2,000 years later now, 2,000 years later, he's still calling his sheep individually and by name, and they are hearing his voice, and they are still following him. Are there thieves and robbers? There are. Are there false prophets and teachers? There are. Is the devil running wild? He absolutely is. Is our world going off the deep end? Absolutely. But his sheep, he's still calling them, and he's still going to save them. I don't care how far it goes. The Lord will still call his sheep, and they'll hear him, and they'll come out. And that's guaranteed by the Scripture. And so, other sheep not of this fold, there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now in this day now, you tell that to the Sanhedrin court, and that's going to be a camel that they just can't swallow down their throat. You're telling me that we're the elite of the Jews. Even the other Jews don't deserve to said in our presence. And you're telling me that there's Gentiles that's going to be brought in with us? If you're not careful, you'll think that way as well. You'll think, well, we're so much higher, we're so much better, we're so much greater. That them people like that, they don't deserve to be a part of that. But I tell you what he's doing, he's calling them all, and there's only going to be one fold. And there's only going to be one shepherd. And whether it's at Zion, whether it's at Liberty, whether it's in Africa, whether it's in China, doesn't matter where it is, they're all being called by the same God. It may be a different man, and it may be a different language preaching the gospel in every place, but the voice of the shepherd is the same. He's calling them in their hearts, and they're being brought in into the same family and amongst the same people that you and I sit in. We're in the same family as the apostles, as the prophets, as Moses, as Jacob, as the 12 tribes of Israel. We're in the same family as all of those you would look up to. And you say, boy, I'd like to be like that one. I'd like to be like this one. I'd like to be like Daniel. We've been called by the same shepherd. We're in the same family. And we're all going to make it the same way. The same gospel. And the same Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Now I realize the Father and the Son and the Spirit, those three, have been in perfect accord, and they've been one, and they've dwelt in the love of one another throughout all eternity past. I realize that. But in this day, at this hour, you know, when John baptized the Lord Jesus, And the voice thundered out of heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." On the day of transfiguration, when the Lord Jesus was transfigured and Peter, James, and John heard the voice thunder and say, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye Him." Do you know why the Lord was well pleased in Him? Because the Lord had come to do the will of God the Father. If you're not careful here, you'll hear this backwards a lot of times. And you'll think the Lord Jesus died so that God would love me. But that's backwards. John 3:16 tells the opposite story. That God loved the world and He sent His Son because of that. So you see, it's the Father that is loving from the very beginning for His sheep. And the Lord Jesus has come. You can look in Hebrews chapter 10 where He's quoting out of the Psalm. "Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. A body in sacrifices and in offerings you are not pleased, but a body you've prepared for me." You know what God the Father was doing? He had sent the Son to do His will. You know what His will was? That He'd have a body like yours and ours, that He'd suffer the abuse, He'd suffer the punishment, He'd suffer the death in order that the sheep could be free from that. And the Father, He saw His travail and was satisfied. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. It pleased the Lord, the Father in heaven, to bruise and lash and punish the Son. Why did that please Him? You know what you hear today? You say that right, and you rightly divide that, and people are going to say, "How could you believe in a God that is that cruel? How could you believe in a God that is that mean?" But do you see what He's doing? Why did it please the Lord to bruise the Son? Because He was bringing many sons into glory. That as God bruised Him, the Father's sheep were being healed. Every stripe that was laid on His back, there was a stripe on our back that was being healed. Every ounce of blood that He bled was our sins being bled away. And when He gave His life for us, that was our life being given back to us. It was the Father loving us and giving the Son for Him. So this was the plan. This was the plan of the Father because He loved us. It was the Son was here to do the will of the Father because He loved the Father and because He loved the sheep. He gave His life for the sheep. "No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself." I have power, privilege, force, capacity, or freedom. I have the freedom to lay it down. And I have the freedom to take it again. So you see, this was not God forcing Jesus to do anything against Jesus' will. This was the Father's will. And Jesus willingly submitted Himself to the Father's will. If He had wanted out of it, He had the freedom to take it back. He had the freedom to go His own way. He was not bound there and held there without option. But the Lord had an option. And He chose by His... It's love beyond my mind. It's beyond my mind, the love that was displayed there at the cross as the Lord endured the suffering and the shame and despised that. He despised the shame of that. He despised the suffering of that, but He stayed under it to deliver our souls from hell. And so He did that. He did that willingly. "This commandment have I received of my Father." This is what the Father has given me to do. And I am going to give myself to do as the Father commands. So you see how we get out? When they say it's too exclusive, remember this scripture. when they say that can't be right, there's got to be another way. Remember all that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit did to bring us to this place. And if you're going to outrun the Spirit, if you're going to run the Son and the Father out of the picture, then you're just locked up in sin with no hope. But in Him, in His work, and in His salvation, there's hope and there's life. So that's all that's on our heart. If you would stand for